Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The update comes from One Bills Live today, and sad news around the Buffalo Bills today. News that one of the all-time great Buffalo Bills has passed away. Bills legend, Wall of Fame linebacker Mike Stratton passed away this morning at his home in Tennessee, believed to be deceased due to natural causes. Six-time AFL All-Star, two-time American Football League champion. Stratton, most famously known for the hit heard around the world, 1964 championship game win over the San Diego Chargers when he hit Keith Lincoln. Mike Stratton, the Bills Wall of Famer, passing away today at his home in Tennessee. The NFL plans to stick with its April 23rd, 25th schedule for this year's draft, despite a recommendation from league's general managers to the commissioner that it be moved back due to the current pandemic. General managers concerned that in the current environment, with off-season activities canceled, some teams' facilities closed, there won't be enough time for player physicals, getting psychological testing, getting further verified information. League sources have said it would be a competitive disadvantage to have some teams in their training facilities during the draft, while teams in California, New Jersey, and here in upstate New York are in lockdown, unable to be in their team's buildings. The league still has time to make further and final decisions, but right now the draft is scheduled to go on as scheduled. NFL is now implementing league-wide workplace and operational mandates, including closing most of these facilities until further notice. That includes the Bills facility, which has been closed for more than a week now. Marcus Mariota has been a starting quarterback for most of his five-year NFL career. He's getting $17.5 million for 2 years from the Raiders, but he says he knows his place. He has no confusion over the pecking order with the Las Vegas Raiders. He's coming in as Derek Carr's backup, Mariota says. First and foremost, this is Derek's team, and I understand that. Former Jets wide receiver Robbie Anderson signing a two-year, $20 million deal with the Carolina Panthers. It includes $12 million in his first year. He becomes the latest Temple player, former Temple player, to reunite with Panthers first-year head coach Matt Rhule. And Janoris Jenkins has signed in the New Orleans Saints. The cornerback signs a two-year extension worth $16.75 million, and that is the update from One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, coming to you from our homes today once again and joining us on the line. Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com. Happy to have the great Chris Brown on the line with us. Hello, Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Chris, I know you've dealt with him. I don't want to dwell on this, but it is sad news about Mike Stratton passing away. I know many people will, you know, there's a certain younger age of Bills fans who say, oh, who the heck is he? But people should know this guy, Mike Stratton, he was an important figure in the history of the franchise, and it goes beyond the hit on Keith Lincoln, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and I think one of the reasons why is he was probably one of the first true athletic linebackers in Bills history, like a supreme athlete at the position that they had not previously had in their short existence before he got there in 62, I believe. So I remember back about 10 years ago when we were putting together all these video packages of candidates for the 50th anniversary all-time team, and I got an opportunity to talk to Mike and a lot of his teammates, and I can't say enough how impressed, even 40-some-odd years later, how a lot of his teammates were with the rare athletic ability that he possessed. And several of them told me they felt that he was one of the few guys from their championship teams in the mid-60s whose athletic skill set would still make him an NFL caliber player even now.
Yeah. He wasn't a plugger, right, Chris? He was long and rangy and tall and kind of a different physical sort than what we may have seen at linebacker back in those days.
Yeah, I mean, he'd probably be a little more comparable to, you know, what you see at the outside linebacker position in these 3-4 schemes. You know, taller, longer players you know, who can get their hands up in the passing lane, but also effectively get up on the line and set the edge and use their length to kind of steer everything back inside. But it was his speed that I think impressed a lot of his teammates more than anything else, because back then, 6'3" guys were unheard of at linebacker, number one, and then to have the speed that he had, I think, was what made him even seem like more of a unicorn.
Yeah, Brownie, we were talking about it, and most people, when you talk about the great moments in the franchise history, you know, you talk about, you know, even 3 years ago for the younger crowd, that moment when the Bills broke the drought and we're all watching together in the locker room, and all the fans all around the country and all the Bills backers watching all around the country as Andy Dalton throws a fourth quarter touchdown pass to put the Buffalo Bills into the playoffs. Moments like that, the 51-3 football game, the great comeback game, that hit that Mike Stratton made back in the 1960s was thought of along those lines as a great moment, something that people talk about of that generation, that about, you know, where were you or what'd you think or who were you with when you saw that hit?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly one of those moments. As a matter of fact, when we were doing some recent video series the last few off seasons, I know that did make the list, if memory serves, or one of the top 10 moments in Bills history. So, you know, you think about, you know, 60 years now of games, and obviously that was a high-profile game, you know, being a championship contest. But and because it had that stage, that's probably part of the reason why it is so memorable. But you talk to any Bills fan over the age of 50, 55, and they'll reference that thing immediately.
Yep. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, on the line with us talking about a variety of topics. It's been several days since we had Chris back on. One NFL note I wanted to get your take on, Chris. A committee of general managers asked the commissioner in the league to postpone the April 23rd start of the draft. The league said no for now. I'm wondering, what reason do you think the league would have to ignore that? They didn't ignore it, but not go along with that request. Why not postpone the draft? What do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to crawl into the mind of Commissioner Goodell and his, you know, committee of people that, you know, he relies on for sound advice and guidance, because he doesn't always make these decisions unilaterally,
sure.
You know, contrary to popular opinion. But I think that in a state in which we're living right now, which is dramatically different than what it was just a few weeks ago, I don't know if the league feels that there's some way helping to serve as a distraction of sorts. I don't know if they're anxious to have the draft play out on time so, you know, they can maybe facilitate their network media deals. I'm just spitballing here. I really don't know what the impetus is. I understand the concerns on the part of the GMs for sure, because their normal set of preparations has been compromised to a great degree. It started at the combine, getting their interviews reduced from 60 to 45. So they were working with 15 fewer there right off the bat. And then obviously, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic has completely turned things upside down, with pre-draft visits being wiped off the map, pro days being wiped off the map, along with a host of other things, including the medical recheck at the combine, which usually takes place back in Indianapolis in late March or early April. So absent those elements, I can see why NFL GMs are very uneasy. The draft is enough of an inexact science to begin with. And when you take out these opportunities for GMs to check off boxes or to do the kind of fact-finding, even in the 10th or 11th hour that these GMs do, I think it makes it even more of a guessing game, and that has to be tremendously unsettling for the GMs that are going to be making these kinds of decisions.
Well, Brownie, before we get to the draft, I mean, this free agency has hit. The league went right on with its schedule, and it seems to have gone swimmingly, except for, like you say, the physical part of it. As you look down the Bills roster, we're going to go over this with you because I've said it many times. You're always neck deep in the roster. What do you think, if you go down position by position, starting on the offensive side of the ball, what's left to be done for the Bills roster? Where are their holes? Where are their weaknesses? Where's the lack of depth? Where's the guy, the position group where the Bills need to really work on to get better? I mean, where do you start? If you start on the offensive side of the ball, what jumps to your mind after free agency that the Bills still need to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make an argument for two positions chiefly, and that's running back and offensive line. Offensive line, in terms of the tackle position specifically, I think there are going to be steps taken to get Deion Dawkins locked up to a long-term contract at some point in time. When, who knows? So even though he's entering the final year of his contract, I don't think he's got a red exclamation point next to him like, hey, this is a guy we have to replace, because I think he's going to be in the fold for a long time. But the fact remains that Ty Inseki is entering the last year of a two-year contract, and while you do have Cody Ford, what is the long-range plan for him? Is he going to be tackle? Is he going to be guard? Knowing that John Feliciano is entering the last year of his two-year contract that he signed with the team last year. So with those elements in mind and potential moving parts a year from now, I think it would be a good time to try to get a young offensive tackle on board to kind of groom in the event that in the next offseason, you know, maybe because you've extended some of the players from your 2017 class that you want to have in the fold long-term, you have less cap room to work with. And so maybe in the draft, you know, if you can pick up an offensive tackle that fits your value when you're on the board, that can kind of take care of having an understudy, so to speak, who might be ready to go come 2021. And then at running back, really to me, it's more of a depth thing than anything else. I tend to have a little bit more faith in T.J. Yeldon as a competent complement to Devin Singletary than maybe some others do. But I think you still need that third option, knowing the attrition rate that running backs operate under this day and age in the NFL. And so whether that's a veteran free agent that you can get on a one-year deal to serve as a stopgap, or whether you take advantage of what is considered to be a deep running back class in this year's draft, I think some depth at that position is warranted.
Hey Chris, I'll go along. Let me talk about running backs for a second, because we've had a lot of listener input on that for a few days, and I think people kind of underestimate how, or maybe overestimate how badly the Bills need a running back, want to get a running back. I think they're looking for a complimentary running back to Devin Singletary. He only played 12 games last year. He only had 150 carries last year. I think Devin Singletary is their lead back and is poised to take an even greater role in the offense this year. Tell me why I'm wrong, Chris, please.
I don't think I'm going to disagree with you.
I think
he is going to be the feature back just because of the versatile skill set he brings to the table. Unfortunately for the Bills, I think T.J. Yeldon is more versatile than he gets credit for. As a pass catcher out of the backfield and, you know, as a between-the-tackles type runner who can run with maybe a little bit more power and lean than Singletary can at, you know, 225 pounds. The interesting thing to keep an eye on here, because I do believe at some point in time, whether it's later in free agency or, you know, on day two or day three of the draft, the type of running back that they add. Do they decide, you know, we need a guy that can really push the pile and let's get someone like that? Do we need someone who is better out in space and is more of a elusive type back? I mean, Devin Singletary is elusive, but in a different way than maybe a jitterbug type back would be. He's not a quick twitch guy. He's just a very skilled player in terms of his vision and contact balance. People get arms around Devin Singletary, but he's very slippery and can get out of them. It's not because he's, to reference a guy from years past, he's not an Eric Metcalf type. If you know what I'm getting at. He's kind of more of a low, built low to the ground type back who guys just kind of slip off of, and he has a low center of gravity, so he can drive a defender off his feet quicker than he's taken off balance himself. So what kind of back do they want? Do they want a pile pusher? Do they want a space player that they can utilize more than just in the backfield? Maybe they split him out wide a little bit, although they did that with Singletary last year. So I'm very interested to see the type of back that they choose to add for depth purposes.
But if they were to wait and do something in the draft with this back, wouldn't you think that they're just going to take the best running back available and use him, whatever his skill set is, in facets of the offense that gives him the best chance to succeed? I mean, do you think there really is a back out there of a certain type that they want to grab, or are they just going to grab the best guy? Certainly they want somebody who can catch and run. They're not going to grab a Derrick Henry if he can't catch and run routes. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, they've got to have a guy that's good enough to carry the load if Devin Singletary and run the entire offense if Devin Singletary twists an ankle or pulls another hamstring like he did last year. Right. They've got to have a guy that they can win with. Yeah, doesn't that just preclude the fact they're going to get the best guy they can, no matter what he looks like?
That kind of leads to the second compelling question concerning the running back, which is, if you're going to wait until the draft, are you comfortable taking the best player available at the running back position? If the value's right, if you feel you have a specific kind of back in mind. If you don't, then you're probably fine and hope that the value matches up when you're on the clock to take a running back, whether it's day two or day three. If you have a specific skill set in mind, you're probably more apt to scour what's left in the free agent market so you can get the kind of back that you want, knowing you have a guy that you've seen on tape at the NFL level and you know what he can do. So that could be a secondary prerequisite, so to speak, in terms of what direction the Bills go to address the depth need there.
With Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, John Murphy and Steve Tasker on the show, One Bills Live, coming to you from our homes. Everybody's at home today. Hey, Chris, since we last talked to you, I think it was last Friday, the Bills re-signed some of their own who are out there as, in one case a restricted free agent, in one case unrestricted. Isaiah McKenzie and Dean Marlowe added to the roster. And McKenzie's case is interesting, Chris, because by not tagging him as a restricted free agent, I think they may have saved themselves for some money and gotten, I think they got McKenzie on a pretty good deal, correct?
Yes. They did not tender him a qualifying offer. You know, the low tender this year was just over $2 million. I think that was a little too rich for the Bills' blood. And we hear all the time Brandon Bean say, you know, in the offseason, as our pro personnel staff is preparing for free agency and getting ready to negotiate with our own free agents, they assign a value to the player, and they try to stick to that value. And obviously their value was different than what the tender offer levels were, and so they chose instead to, you know, negotiate with the McKenzie camp and say, hey, look, we're not going to tender you, but we are interested in keeping you. Can we negotiate something, you know, completely separate from what the restricted free agent tender levels are? And clearly they were able to do that and bring McKenzie back into the fold.
Yeah, that's how I meant, tender, not tag. Go ahead.
Do you have a short list of guys who are possibilities also that the Bills would re-sign that were on the roster last year, maybe hanging out there as a free agent or as a that they'd still like to get their hands on? Anybody still out there that you think maybe they're thinking about in the same way they thought about Isaiah McKenzie?
I mean, I think it's possible, but a lot of the guys that are still on the list, fellas, are veteran players. I mean, we're talking about 7, 8, 10 or more years in the league that are on the list of Bills free agents that have not been back. Adrian Waddle is one of the younger free agents left on their list as a 6-year vet. Sonoris Perry is another. But beyond that, guys, you're talking 10, 11-year players. You do have Maurice Alexander, the outside linebacker whose season was cut short last year due to injury. But players like Kurt Coleman, who was brought in, you know, as a veteran safety, Frank Gore. I mean, these are guys that I'm just not anticipating, and this is just a guess on my part, but I'm not anticipating them being back.
Chris Brown, our guest, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. I have followed you on Twitter, Chris. You've been keeping busy by, what, tie-dyeing your shirts? Have you done all of them, one of them? What have you done?
Well, this was just a one-time thing, to be completely honest with you, and I was talked into this by my daughter, who was probably 10 times as bored as I was this past weekend. And she often has advice for me with respect to social media. And she came up with this concept, and she was leaning on me. And I said, okay, fine. I said, but you're doing all the video editing and all of that stuff. So she's like, okay, here's my idea. What do you think? I said, okay, let's do it. I mean, we were that bored. So we're figuring Bills fans are probably just as bored, you know, in this new reality that we have to deal with, especially on the weekend where you don't have to worry quite as much about work responsibilities or online learning for school for students. So that's what we came up with. Unfortunately, the results were horrific. I don't think I did a very good job at all. I was getting all kinds of advice on the social media pages from Bills fans, the best of which was that I probably wrapped the shirt too tight, which prevented the color from covering most of the shirt. But for a first-time attempt for a guy who's really not into the tie-dye scene, I guess I did probably C-minus, D-plus work.
It doesn't surprise me, Brownie, that you might have got just a little advice from social media. I'm sure that nobody was interested in telling you how you were supposed to do it.
Let's just say the response was healthy. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'm interested. I don't want to keep you, Chris, but I'm just doing a little math here. So you've been quarantined at home for a while. Before that, you and your family were on a vacation for a while. What are you looking at, like 6 weeks where the four of you, you and Tracy and your two teenage children have been together? About 6 weeks now? 4 weeks, 6 weeks? What are we talking about?
Yeah, I love my family, but we're getting a little long with this. There's a reason we're all in different rooms during the course of the business day, shall we say.
That's great. Brownie, awesome. Thanks. Hang in there. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, you got it, guys.
All right, man.
Chris Brown, Phil's Insider, BuffaloBills.com. A distinct lack of energy from Chris today, I would say, Steve, right?
I think it's come up. exactly what I was going to say. I think he's getting a little beat up.
Yeah.
He'll be all right. Brownie will come through it. He's a grinder.
You may want to get the police over there just to drive by and make sure everything's okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Exactly. He sounds despondent. You know, he's going to break through the door with a hatchet like, what's the name in The Shining? Jack Nicholson.
That's right.
Shining. Tracy, I'm home. Here's Chrissy.
Oh, my gosh. Stop. Just stop. We're getting worse and worse as the day goes on.
Got a break here. When we come back, Solomon Wilcox from Pro Football Focus will join us, talk about a variety of NFL topics. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with John Murphy here, broadcasting from our homes during the coronavirus quarantine. Murph and I are pleased to welcome in a good friend of mine from my days in CBS, a sideline reporter for some Monday Night Football. He's an analyst in the booth for CBS, and now he's working for Pro Football Focus, my good friend Solomon Wilcott. Solly, Steve Tasker and John Murphy here in Buffalo. Thanks for coming on with us.
Steve, John, hey, thanks for having me. Always great to be on with you.
Let's get started. You're working for Pro Football Focus. You're doing some articles and some video productions. What's your main area of expertise with Focus? What are you doing with them?
Well, you know, it's really about producing content for viewers and using analytics. And Steve, as you well know, you and I, we've been around the game for a long time. well over 30 years, whether it's as a player, reporter, broadcaster, and now with data analytics, the science is so predictive in helping to evaluate players via the draft, with the agency, helping to quantify activity. And so being able to blend the nuances of data analytics with the experience that we have, I find it very pleasing to be content for our website and for viewers on our channel on YouTube.
Hey, Solomon, we're interested in getting opinions on the Bills' moves so far, a week and a half into free agency, and, of course, the trade of Stephon Diggs. What do you think of those moves?
Yeah, I like the move by Stephon Diggs. I said at the time, our content around this move, I thought it was good for both teams. Very seldom do you find these trades to be equitable for both sides, but the Vikings, they needed the cap relief, right? And getting Stephon Diggs off the books and getting a draft pick in return helps them. We all know one of the things that number one receiver, wide receiver number one was needed. I think it's going to help the quarterback. It helps lift the team. His attitude and what he brings to the locker room, because he's a true competitor, but he also knows how to fit into a team environment. So I think it's a good move on both sides.
One of the things that the Bills got criticized for was paying so much to get Stephon Diggs. And I've kind of countered with, and I love the deal when they did it, trading a first and the other couple of draft picks for Stephon Diggs in a seventh. I love the deal mainly for this reason, Solly. You see Amari Cooper signed for $20 million with the Dallas Cowboys. You've got Stephon Diggs for four more years at $11 million a year, and I think that makes this deal going forward really great for the Buffalo Bills.
I see your economics of it. The Bills understand that. You got yourself your number one receiver at $11 million a year. Teams are paying close to $18, $19, and $20 million a year for their number one receiver. This allows you to be able to take care of that position. Continue to build the team around a very young quarterback. One might say that you can go into this year's draft and get a top receiver, and you'd be right. I still believe the big receiver in the second and third round, but you're not going to get a receiver that can come in and hit the ground running like Stephon Diggs, who's already a veteran. Young wide receiver, play the position. They have a tough time with sight adjustments, with reading blitz coverages, knowing how to break off routes. To be able to get a polished receiver day one is the way to go for the Bills.
I think we might have lost Murph just for a second. Let me go ahead and I'm going to ask you this, Solly. How do you think you were a defender in the NFL and you've seen a lot of running backs, you've watched them. The Bills have this young running back in Devin Singletary. He's really shifty, has elite vision. Maybe not a home run hitter, but he gets every yard that's coming to him and plus can make some extra stuff also. Really shifty, great change of direction. What kind of running back do the Bills need to go out and get? Or maybe you have even a name of a guy that they need to go out and get in free agency or in the draft who would, like, complement Devin Singletary or maybe even compete with him. What kind of guy do you look for as the Buffalo Bills? Do you just go get the best guy available or do you get a guy with a specific skill set?
When you're drafting and even in free agency, and we're working, doing more work on this, is that forget about the jersey just for 1 minute and just focus on the productivity of the player. What do you need specifically in your offense and defense? And what are the skill sets to perform the work that needs to be done? You mentioned it. Devin Singletary is a guy that he can run it between the tackles. He can hit the edges. He seems good runner. If you said that in the Buffalo Bills offense, you need someone who can impact the passing game and be a receiver coming out of the backfield, you need a running back like an Alvin Kamara. You want one maybe like a Christian McCaffrey. And so you're looking in this draft and you're trying to find that player. You don't have to have your round pick to find those kind of players. You can get them third, fourth, even fifth round. It really is about finding the right guy who's the right fit for you and who has the right based on what you want to accomplish in your offense.
And then once again, every time Merck tries to chime in, Solly, he's getting snapped off on his Skype. So I'm just going to keep on rolling with this. I can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming on. It's been great. It's great to see you again. I know I told Murph during my career at CBS, there was maybe a handful of times when I called you and said, Solly, what do I do about this? Yeah. And you were always really gracious to me and coming up with the right advice in the right situations, because sometimes you deal with these teams, you don't know what they're talking about. You know, you don't know what to do and why they're saying the things they are and all that stuff. I got to ask you, though, this. When we were talking about, you said about the Tom Moore and Bruce Arians down in Tampa Bay, what they're doing with Tom Brady. I've got to ask you, Tom Moore is the guy who worked with Peyton Manning. He knows how to give his quarterback a lot of rein. Bruce Arians is known for being able to get the most out of quarterbacks. How do you think it's going to work? I expect Tom Brady to really thrive under those two guys and their coaching. What do you think?
Agree with you there, Steve. And we're working on a piece right now. Just submitted it to my editor. And basically, I'm talking about Tom Brady and his the right team, not simply because they have really talented receivers in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and they do, okay? But I'm talking coaches. When you think about Tom Moore and Bruce Arians, in 1998, they were with the Indianapolis Colts, as you well know, Napoleon. They were there when the Colts drafted Peyton Manning, and they helped groom him and helped empower him to run an offense and read the and get the offense into the right play. They literally took the offense and put it in the hands of a young quarterback, and they taught him to be aggressive. Now, what did it mean? It meant that Peyton interceptions that year with 28, but he also set a rookie record for for passing yards and for touchdown passes. And whether it was Bruce Arians working with Ben Roethlisberger, Bruce Arians working with Andrew Luck during his first season in 2012, he's called the quarterback sort of resurrected Carson Palmer's career with the Cardinals. These two guys together, working with Tom Brady, even at 43 years old. Jameis Winston can throw for 5,000 yards in that offense and have 2,000-yard receivers. What do you think Tom Brady could do? Coaches, I know they're going to empower him to go out and attack the defense. They're going to turn it all over to Tom. They're not going to force him to run their offense a certain way. They're going to literally hand it over to him and help him do the things that he loves to do and the best way that he wants collaboration. And that's what I'm excited about with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady, Tom Moore, and Bruce Arians, I think it makes for a potent offensive.
One of the things that happened in this free agency, just before free agency began, was the Buffalo Bills signed Josh Norman. He had a lot of success under Sean
McDermott.
Hey, Solomon,
guys, I'm going to cut off real quick.
And he also...
Solomon, we're going to call you. The connection's breaking up. I'm having a hard time connecting with these guys. I'm going to call you right back, and we're going to do this over the phone. Does that work?
We're going to do it over?
No.
You want to do it over Skype?
Yeah, we're going to disconnect on Skype and then just call you over the phone. We'll call you right here. Steve, stay with me.
Gotcha.
Steve, you should be here. You want to, I'm going to have Derek call Solomon. Derek, if you can call Solomon, we'll get him back on the air, and we'll continue this. Murph, I think, left. I think he's making lunch. Is that what it sounds like?
Yeah, sounds like he's making lunch.
Yeah, yeah. a lot of cupboard slamming, a lot of dishes. Once Solomon is on the air.
Well, good news, he is on the air.
He's good to go. So, Steve, you want to pick back up with Solomon?
Yeah, sure. Solly, I got to ask you, Cam Newton was released. And the amazing thing about this whole scenario with Carolina is that they got a chance to – they told Cam Newton, go out and seek a trade, and Cam couldn't make it happen. So Carolina ends up releasing a former MVP while getting a fifth-round draft pick in return for a backup quarterback, Kyle Allen. Is Cam Newton still a starting quarterback? Does he have a chance to be productive?
You know, I think it's a really good question, Steve, because we don't know about his health. Remember, the guy had surgery on his foot for Liz Frank injury, had surgery on his shoulder prior to the 2019 season. We haven't seen him throw without having discomfort and pain. We haven't seen him run without discomfort or pain. And as you well know, Cam Newton is a unique specimen. He's a unique quarterback. Any offense that he plays in, you're going to have to tailor the offense to his skill set. He has a career completion percentage of 58%. Now, Cam can win with that low number, but most quarterbacks couldn't. And the reason why he can win with that number, because he goes about generating offense in a different way. However, we don't know if he could continue to play with the same style and the same physicality, given his injuries with the foot and the throwing shoulder. And it's going to be tough. I don't know if a team is willing to take that on with the uncertainty to health. And I don't know if they're willing to give up the whole offense to tailor it around him when you don't know if he's going to be in a lineup. He's an untraditional quarterback, much in the same way that a Lamar Jackson is. You got to be all in with Cam, or you can't even go there. But this also speaks to the way that he's always played the game for 9 years. We know that that style of play at the quarterback position does not come with longevity. And this is one that the Baltimore Ravens are going to have to even come to this conclusion. Do you continue to allow Lamar Jackson to play this way, or should it morph into something more traditional? Because a more traditional way of playing the quarterback position lends to longevity. And that's where we're at a crossroads with Cam Newton, where we simply don't know. And I don't know if there's a team out there right now that's going to scrap it all when you have no insurances with his health. So it's a very difficult question to ask.
Yeah, and I was going to say, do you have a gut feeling about where Cam will end up?
Yeah, I think, you know, listen, I think if he's healthy, would Ron Rivera say, hey, look, I'll take you, but you're going to have to be a backup. You're going to have, but, you know, Kyle Allen is now making the moves, right? He's now landed there. So I don't even think that's the spot. If something happened to Tyrod Taylor, say with the Chargers, they seem to be ready to roll with Tyrod. But I think that's the kind of offense that if you're going to tailor it around Tyrod Taylor with the Chargers, then Cam would be able to fit there too. So I could see that door possibly opening up once physicals are allowed to be done and once there's some certainty with regards to his health.
One last thing for me, and before I let you go, Solomon, I really appreciate you being on. I'm with Solomon Wilcox of Pro Football Focus. Where do you think the remaining quarterbacks are going to land? Cam Newton, where do you think? Do you think Andy Dalton stays in Cincinnati? Do you think Jameis Winston is going to be the last guy standing? Where do you think some of these guys are going to land?
Yeah, I don't see. Listen, we may have a market for Andy Dalton before the trade deadline in the middle of the season. Same with Cam, same with Jameis Winston. Because you know these teams, as they start playing games, someone gets hurt, the dynamic shifts quickly, and desperation sets in. People don't want to see their season evaporate. The problem is, can you bring a quarterback? We're talking the quarterback position. Can you bring a quarterback in at such late stage after you started the season, before the trade deadline, and think he's going to make an impact? So I think you've got to get guys in there during training camp where they can get reps, get used to your system. And so with that said, Jameis Winston, I think there's a backup market for him. Right now, I don't see a market as a starter. If he does find a market as a backup, I think the best place for him is Pittsburgh, where Ben Roethlisberger has uncertain health. And I think that he can reclaim, Jameis Winston, reclaim some kind of glory if fitted into a system and a team that's ready to be successful. So I think that's a good fit for him there. And I think the Chargers for Cam, but Cam's got to get in there quickly. You can't wait till training camp is over and the preseason games have been played and then get in there as a quarterback. So that's how I see it for those two guys. Andy Dalton, I think the Patriots are waiting. They want to be patient. $17 million a year is going to cost. Right now, the Patriots don't have the cap room. They would have to cut players in order to bring Dalton. So I think Dalton kind of stays in Cincinnati. I think the Bengals are ready to keep him and take that beating for 1 year before they throw Joe Burrow or whomever that rookie quarterback is going to be. So I think it's a wait to see with Andy Dalton. But right now, it looks like Dalton could end up being with the Bengals for the start of the 2020 season.
Solomon, thanks for this. I appreciate you coming on. I look forward to seeing you and crossing paths with you down the road.
All right. Anything you need, Steve, anytime. Take care.
Solomon Wilcox, Pro Football Focus. Steve Tasker and John Murphy coming back with more One Bills Live at the top of the hour. We'll be back. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Back on the air, it's One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. I'm John Murphy. I think I'm back on the air. Steve, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're moving and talking again. It sounds good.
What was I doing before?
Well, you started to talk, and then you were freezing up, and the connection with Solomon Wilcox went out, and yeah, it was rough. It was rough for a minute. We got through it though.
Okay.
Good having Solly on.
Was it? Tell me about it. I didn't hear any.
Yeah, he was good. He's got some real thoughts on how good it's going to go. He thinks Tom Brady's going to soar like an eagle in Tampa Bay. We'll see. We'll see. Okay. He thinks it's going to go really well for them down there.
Okay. So. Our Twitter poll today: which 2018 first-round quarterback has the most pressure in 2020? We got 1,200 votes in. 49% say Baker Mayfield. 36% say the Bills' own Josh Allen. 9% say the Jets' Sam Darnold, and 6% say Lamar Alexander. Let me look at some of the responses on the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. Steve says, I think Sam Darnold because it's a New York media. I think this front office has given him the least to work with, but if he fails, the New York media will get to him. It's not a bad observation, Steve. There is a New York media, and it is going to be his third year. And if he doesn't produce, and I know the Jets don't have a great surrounding cast around him, some of the focus will be on him, right?
Maybe. It'll take a while to get to him. I don't think he's under as much pressure because of Adam Gase. I think Adam Gase is under the real pressure. I think Adam Gase is going to shoulder a bunch of the blame if the Jets season goes south. Certainly if Sam Darnold's missing open guys and playing bad, which I don't think he will. You and I both think he's a pretty good quarterback. And I still do. I think if there's anybody under pressure in New York, it's Adam Gase before it's Sam Darnold. That's why I would put, you know, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson ahead of him. I think Sam Darnold may be under the least pressure of the four guys we mentioned, just because of the fact that his head coach, I think, now is on the hot seat.
Huh. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll get to talk more about Sam Darnold with Rich Cimini from ESPN NFL Nation, who covers the Jets for them, and he's coming up next right here on the show. One Bill, what's that? You're rustling papers.
Oh, that's me. I was flipping the page on my notebook, getting ready
now
for Cimini.
We're going to critique each other. Okay. We're going to critique each other for the background noise. Yeah, I got a little noise here. I got a glass of water here. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that. I heard, okay. Yeah. We heard that. Yeah, I heard you. What was it? Slamming cabinets? You had a cabinet. You had something out. You had a wrapper out a little earlier, and I can't remember what it was. It's so hard to stay focused when you got this. You know what I mean? And you get up. I walk around the office. You know, you're because we got. Oh my gosh! I need to work on my self-discipline. We cannot be trusted with this.
One Bills Live presented by Collider Health, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.